All right. Good morning. Man, this schedule is pretty intense. It's like double sermons and stuff, you know? So, good luck to you guys, all right? It's good. It was good catching up with everyone this weekend, and especially like the youth. It's so weird. I feel like when I was like you guys were so much younger, okay? So you guys were like blobs, okay? You guys were like not fully formed yet, but now you guys are actually like growing into yourselves, you know, and there's like more. Exactly. So it's crazy, and so that's been awesome. And yeah, thank you guys for having me. So far, we've talked about being in Christ and how being in Christ, the gospel, it should change our relationships with one another. We should be able to reconcile. It also changes the way we think and feel about our relationship with God, who we are, our identity, the way we live and we think, and also other people. And so today, it's going to be. I was very blessed today, this morning, by Pastor Jay's message. But we're going to kind of continue a very similar idea. It's just going to be encouragement, okay? And so, for those of you, I know a lot of you are already doing what I'm going to talk about, already. I hope you guys can persevere in that and keep doing what you're doing. Some of you guys are, I'm just going to say maybe a little lazy, okay, with this, and you just need a little, like, a little nudge, all right, a little kick in the butt, okay, yeah, to kind of move you along. And so, today we're going to talk about Paul. He continues in Ephesians, okay, and we're going to start in the beginning of chapter 5 today. But he begins to talk about this component, this essential thing you have to also have in living for Christ. And last night we talked about to live like Christ, you also have to, you have to repent. Right, you have to take sin seriously, and when you fall, you take everything to Christ. But also, there's this other component that he talks about in all of his letters, all of his writing, and he says, if you miss this thing, it's so important that if you miss it, you pretty much like miss like Christianity almost. Like if you have everything else, but you're lacking this one thing, you're in like major trouble. So you have to, you can't neglect this. And it's so easy to actually forget about it. And he's saying to live like Christ, you have to do this one thing. And so what is it? And so we're just gonna jump right in, okay? And so Ephesians chapter 5. And I think this is, this is like so essential to Paul's theology. We could have talked about so many things, but I think it's so essential, so crucial, and it ties right into the theme of the year. And so we're gonna look at the beginning of chapter 5, but just verses 1 and 2, okay? Paul writes to the church, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love." Okay, I'm just going to stop right here. Just walking in love, okay? This is the thing that we need so much in order to look and to live like Christ. And to imitate him, to look like him, to live like him, we have to love people. Love, okay? And it's really hard to love people, okay? It would have been a lot easier if God was talking to us and he's like, "All right, to look and live like Christ, just go to church. Or just give money. Just like, do this nice thing." That'd be so much easier. But it's love, okay? And loving people is really hard. It's very difficult. And the reason is because people are very difficult, okay? The people in your lives, some of them are really easy to get along with. Like, you know, you instantly click, sense of humor, it's easy, you guys have similar interests. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people that are just very difficult in your life, okay? For example, you might have someone in your class who is just really difficult. The people that I have the hardest time loving in my when I went when as a student, it's those people who like they're a little bit like too excited to be there, you know? Like they like learning a little bit too much, right? And they're already a good student, they're already doing really well, and they just have to like, you know, it's like the teacher already forgot. You don't have to like, you know, make it like harder for us. Just let it be, right? The teacher forgot. You don't have to remind them. But it's those people, right, who think that they're like the know-it-alls, right? They try so hard. It's like, come on, just relax, you know? It might be that person for you in class, okay, who's just wild, whoever they are, just in your face, annoying, whatever it is, making it hard for everyone else. for people, it might be like the people in your workplace, okay? I had to work part-time for a little while. Very recently, I just stopped. I worked valet for Torrance Marriott, okay? And so it was, man, that was interesting. Some very morning, very early shifts, some very late, and the coworkers I had, man, they were like some random bunch of people, okay? Some were like really young college students, some were really old, like grandpas, okay, working valet. So it was all over the place. One coworker I had in particular, this guy was like, he's the manager, okay? And he was also like the laziest person on the job, okay? He would be like, you know what? Doing the job looks like this, and then he'd just go inside and just like do nothing, right? And so it was so, it's so hard to respect, especially like people who say something and do something else. And the worst part was like, this guy was like, yeah, I go to church all the time. You know, I'm such a good Christian. He always talks about that. And I'm like, oh man, like you're such a bad worker, you know, like such a bad boss. It's so tough. The difficult people in our lives are the people at church. Maybe it's leadership. Maybe it's people in our family. Okay. There's always that, like, difficult person in your family. Hopefully you're not that difficult person in your family. Okay. But whoever it is, there's someone. There's always someone. Okay. An uncle, a cousin, a grandma. I don't know who it is, but there's always someone tough. Okay. They might be in the room. I don't know, but it's tough. Okay. And whoever those difficult people are, that's why it's so hard to love people, because it's not love. And you know, people get hurt by other people, and so I see this a lot. It's actually very interesting. People get hurt by other people. They try to love people, it doesn't work out, and so what they end up doing is they love like something that can't hurt them. They love like, oh, these people hurt me, so I'm just gonna love like sports from afar. I'm just gonna love like video games. They can't hurt me. I'm gonna love my dog, a pet. Because that person, it's so easy to love, right? They're not gonna actually hurt me in any, like, real way. And so, loving people is really hard. It's one of the hardest things to do. And it's because people are hard and they're difficult. And before Paul kind of encourages us to kind of love in that way, he reminds us first of our identity. And I just wanna touch upon this really briefly. He says, to be imitators of God, he says, and he reminds us, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And that's who we are, right? And so he reminds us of our identity and our status first. And in the parent-child relationship, it's very unique. Okay, most other relationships are just based on performance. Okay? You're my friend, and even the people think about all your friends, okay? They're your friends because why? They act like your friends. They live in a way in which you accept and you like and you tolerate. You have the same sense of humor. They respect you. You respect them. They're friendly to you. They invite you. And the minute they start not acting like your friend, what do a lot of people do? Cut ties. You gossip about me. You're stabbing me in the back. You're cut. You're no longer in my friend group. Performance, our status, our relationship is based on their performance. And even that, like in the workplace. You can have a great, funny worker that you love working with, but if that person isn't living up to the standard of the company, guess what happens? That person's cut. They can be the funniest, coolest person, but if they're not living up, if they're not performing, then they're out. That's what it looks like. But not family. Not a parent and a child. It doesn't work like that, right? I talk to parents all the time, and they email me. This weekend, a parent emailed me and was like, My kid doesn't want to go to church. My kid is, I think my kid is like struggling, and I think he's like in the wrong crowd of friends. And she's like saying all this stuff. And see, it's totally different. A parent and a child. It's no matter what the child does, the parent is still the child's parent. That's still their son. That's still their daughter. Nothing is going to change that. That relationship, that status is established. It's set. And it's not based on performance. And oftentimes, kids who make it difficult for the parents, those are the people who have a special place in the parent's heart, right? The parent always thinks about the kid. The kid doesn't stop being their kid if they don't live up to a certain way. And so that's what it looks like for us. If we're God's children, He loves us. We're His. no matter what, no matter what you do, no matter how you fail, no matter how you run away, when you backslide, when you get confused, when you're not performing the way that you should perform, we're still his children, and we're loved. That's how loved we are. And so he starts there. He's saying, you're so loved. It's this agape, just because love. It's unconditional, no circumstances, not based on performance. We're loved because we're loved. That's our status, not based on our performance, but based on what Christ has done for us, right? And so Paul starts right in the beginning. He says that, and he says, to look and live like God, to imitate him, you have to love people. Love, okay? And then he continues on, and he kind of explains the kind of love we ought to have. And it's a unique type of love. It's a little bit different. And I think it's very important for us to look at two components in particular that makes Christ's love different, right? And even Jesus, he says, this commandment I give you, right? And it's love, loving people, that's not a new commandment, but what makes it different? It's because we're supposed to love like Jesus. We're supposed to love like Christ. And so I want to kind of tease this out a little bit, okay? And I want to look at two things in particular. The first thing, to love like Christ, to love other people, and we need to do this. This is how we look like Christ. To love like Christ, we must be selfless. Okay, this is the first thing. It says Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. He gave himself for us, not for him. He cared about us. He thought about us. It's the whole like Philippians 2 idea, right? That Christ did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, the likeness of men, and he became a human for us, like us. He humanity, right? And it's his humility that we see here, and that's what humility is, right? C.S. Lewis, what is humility? C.S. Lewis, the famous quote: humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's selflessness. That's the picture. And I think for a lot of people, they get confused. Okay, I think a worldly sense of love is very different than this Christ-like love. Okay, Christ-like love is selfless. But I hear a lot of people in the world saying that I love this thing, I love that person. But I think there's a distorted, false picture of love. I don't think it's completely true love that they're talking about. The first thing that people do is, I think a lot of people, rather than being selfless in their love, they're actually very selfish. They don't want to say it, they don't want to admit it, but a lot of times before we love people, we have this like little conversation in our mind, in our heart, and we say, and we kind of talk it out. And we look at a person and we see them, okay, maybe they're new to church, maybe they're in our schools, maybe they're in our workplace, maybe they're difficult, whoever they are. We look at them and we're like, okay, who is this person? Can this person offer me anything? Like, if I'm this person's friend, will they benefit me in some way? And we look at them and we're like, is this person like similar to me? Will I enjoy talking to this person? If I strike up a conversation with them, where is this gonna go? Is it gonna be like a little bit awkward? Does this person have like a sense of humor? Who is this person? Right? And for a lot of people in the world, this is sad to say, but they love people who love them, first of all, and that's just pagan love, right? You love the people who love you. That's easy. But also, we love people who are useful to us. They need to benefit us in some way. They need to up my status. If this person's not more popular than me, if this person cannot offer me something and help me in some way, if this person can't help me with homework or anything, then why be this person's friend? Why try with this person? There's nothing in it for me, so why would I love or reach out to them? It's a very selfish love. But and that's very dangerous, right? And that's not the picture of selfless love. Another false picture, I think, is, and I hear this all the time, it's not just selfish, but stubborn. It's this stubborn love. It's like, I love this person. I love this person so much, and I'm so frustrated with them. And you know what? This person, they want this, and they demand this. And the stubborn love is saying, you know what? But I'm me. I've always done things the way I do it. This is how I show love. I'm a worker. I just do things. I don't talk. I don't say things. And so, why can't you just look at my actions? I don't change. I can't change. I'm unwilling to change. this is how I show love in just this way. Maybe I buy gifts, maybe I, you know, the five love languages, whatever those things are. This is just how I express love. So take it or leave it. This is just my version of love. And you're unwilling to compromise, unwilling to change, unwilling to budge. But selfless love doesn't look like that. It's not selfish. It's not thinking of, oh, what's in it for me? It's not stubborn in the way that I'm unwilling to change. I'm unwilling to adapt and alter myself, humble myself, lower myself for the other person. It's selfless. To love like Christ is to be selfless. And selfless is, like Pastor Jay was saying, it's addressing the needs of that individual. It's addressing the needs of that person. It might not be what you like. It might not be beneficial to you. It might be hard for you. But selfless love is thinking of what the other person needs, considering them, right? I watched this show. I love this show. I don't know if your parents allow you to watch it, then go ahead. If not, then don't do it, okay? But The Walking Dead, okay? It's this show about, like, zombies, like walkers and stuff like that. It's kind of, like, freaky. But I remember early on in the season, don't worry, no spoilers. Very early on, this has like nothing to do with the plot. They're on this like boat, okay, and so they're like trying to run away, survive zombies. But there's like moments where they like try to live like normal life, right? They have to eat and stuff, and so they go fishing, and they're like, "We want some meat." These two sisters are sitting on a boat, okay, and they're talking about their dad. And what they say about their dad is, you know, they're kind of looking back to like the good old days, and oh, remember before there were zombies and before the virus, and they're just talking. Talking about their dad, and they say, one daughter, their sisters, one of the sisters says, you know, I love my dad. Remember fishing with our dad? It was so fun. He would take us on different trips. And it was like, yeah, you know, it was so weird, but, you know, we always went with our dad to go fishing, but we never went together. And they're kind of talking about their times because they didn't share that. And so one of the daughters says, yeah, every time my dad took me fishing, I loved it because we would catch fish. And, you know, it's so weird because we're catching fish to eat right now because we don't have any food. But when I caught fish with my dad, we would always catch them. And then, you know, because I would feel so bad for the fish, we would just, like, release them again, you know? And it'd be fun for me because, you know, we got to catch fish together, but we never really hurt them. You know, we just kind of hook them in, we reel them in, it'd be like a little bit of a fight, bring them in, and then just let them go again. Like, it was so fun, but now we actually have to catch them and, like, kill them and eat them. And then her sister was like, really? That's so weird. Because every time I went fishing with my dad, with our dad, we would fish to eat. We would fish and put up, they would put up a fight. We would grab them. We would kill them and we would just eat it. Every time we would eat it before we went home. And like, if we didn't catch fish and we didn't eat it, we would just stay there all day until we actually did something. And they're comparing their experience and they're like, that was so weird. Like, how come when I went with dad, we always let the fish go. But on the other hand, how come when his other daughter went with her dad, they would catch fish and eat it, and they're talking about it, and they're like, they're confused for a little bit, and then they're like, you know what? I think it's because my dad knew how I am, that I'm like really gentle. I don't like to hurt people. I don't like to harm anyone. And so when he went with me, we would just kind of let them go. But on the other hand, this sister was talking, this daughter, and she was saying, yeah, but you know, my dad knows that I'm really aggressive, I'm very competitive, and I have to get something. And if I don't get something, it's like, oh, like, it was a waste of time. It wasn't successful. And so they were talking about their dad in the way that he loved them. Differently, but altogether still love. And he was looking at each individual and thinking about what this person needs, what this daughter needs. She needs things to be like this. But on the other hand, his other daughter is so different, and he needed to love her in a completely different way. See, I think this is, it's silly, but that's a small glimpse, a small picture of selfless love. It's not who or how I do things, how I like things, but thinking of the other person, putting that person above yourself in some sense. Right? There's a girl at our church, and she's like this like beast, like person who is like so relational, so happy, always meeting up with people. One of those, she's in her like late 20s. And I remember one week, you students, they came in and, you know, I just try to talk to them and I say, you know, how was your week? What'd you do this week? And this one individual was like, you know, oh, my week was really good, school, whatever. And I met up with this one girl, Judy. She's from our church. And I was like, whoa, that's cool, like, that she would reach out to you. You know, even though she's a young adult, you're a youth, she kind of reached out to you and did that. And then I was on, like, Instagram later that day, and I was, like, looking around, and people, like, college students, like, went out with her for, like, boba. And they, like, tagged her. And it was, like, whatever, like, hashtag fam, squad goals, whatever, all that stuff, right? And they're like, oh, whatever. And they're talking, and Judy was there. And she's like, oh, like, you know, Judy treated us out for boba. And I was like, dang, Judy, like, she's like doing so much stuff, right? And then later on, I go on like Snapchat, okay, and I'm like looking around. And then I see my other peers, my other young adults, okay, that we're with. And she's with them too, like in the morning for brunch, okay? And I'm like, man, Judy, like, what is she doing? Like, she has so much time or what? And I catch up with Judy and she has a full-time job. She's doing all this stuff, but she just like beasts it, right? She is so selfless. It's not like she's just sitting around doing nothing. She has family, she has her own friends, she has her own life, and she's not even serving in these ministries. She's not like a youth teacher, she's not any of this. But what she does is she sees people and she feels for them. She's like this caring like mother, and she sees them and she's like, man, this student, I don't know if anyone like met up with the student recently. So she'll just initiate and reach out. And with college students, she just sees a group of them and she's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Nothing? Oh, like, you guys want to hang out? I'll take you guys out for fellowship. I'll just take you guys out. I'll treat you guys out for boba. And she's just this like caring motherly figure. And it's so cool to see. And I look at her and I'm like, man, dude, Judy, she's like this extrovert, like super loving, like mom figure. And then we look at ourselves, right? I look at myself and I'm like, okay, number one, I'm not an extrovert, introvert all the way, right? My Myers-Briggs, like INTJ, okay? Super introvert. I'm not like this. What does it look like for me? Okay? Cause how I was as a youth student, okay, I remember this happened once. We did, I forgot who was a youth leader there. I think like Ben was there. Ben Hall. Oh, anyway, he was kind of like in charge. And we went to this like joint youth camp or youth night with other youth groups. Okay. And this is how introverted I was. I was so shy. I was like, you know what? Like, could this night just quickly be over? Like, who are all these strangers? Right? Like, can I just like go back to my like Chinese people? Right? And so he was like, hey, like Chris, you have to go talk to other people. And I was like, no, I'm good. Like right here, you know, I have like one friend. We could just talk to each other. We're good right here. He's like, no. He's like, Chris, if you talk to someone, I'll give you $5, right? And I was like, $5? I was like, I'm okay. And he kept upping it. He's like, you know what? Fine, I'll give you $10, right? And I was like, okay, well, what do I have to do for $10? He's like, you have to talk to 5 people. Just say hi to 5 people. And I was like, no, I can't do it. And he's like, okay, $20. He's like, give me $20 if you say hi to 5 people. And I was like, $20? Like, I'm thinking about all the stuff I could buy with $20, right? I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty good. Oh, I can't. Maybe like, can I talk to just one person? Is that good? Can I just talk to one person? He's like, okay, no. He's like, okay, if you talk to 5 people, I won't give you $20, I'll give you $100. He's like, seriously. He's like, I'll go to the bank after this, I'll give you $100. He's like, if you talk to 5 people, just say hi. Just say hi, just say your name. You don't even have to have a conversation with them, just say hi to 5 people. And I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. And he knew I couldn't do it. That's why he was willing to wager that much, right? And I just sat there. And I was like a 6th or 7th grader, I think. And I was like, no, I can't. Like, I was so shy. I couldn't do it. But see, being selfless is thinking of the other person, right? And it's hard. It's not like, oh, you know, and I know we're not used to it. I know it's difficult. I know we're very stubborn people, all of us, myself included. And we're all like, you know what? But I'm this way. But I'm not that, I'm Judy person who like meets up with 10 people in a day. Like, I'm not that kind of loving person. I'm not that. I'm me. But Christ, He's selfless. He gave Himself up for us. He stepped out of His comfort zone to do that, right? And I think for a lot of us, we need to do that. And it maybe just starts with doing that, okay? I can't give you $100, okay, for every person you talk to, but still, to be welcoming, to do all these things, to reach out, to initiate, it's to look like Christ. It's to love selflessly. So that's the first thing. The love of Christ is selfless. The second way, the second unique way that we can love like Christ, it's not just selfless, it's very sacrificial, right? Verse 2 continues and it says, Christ was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, what that means, real quick, fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. I know that means like nothing Levitical, like sacrifices. But burnt offerings back then were done in this way. Okay, they would take an animal up. This is a burnt offering. They would take an animal up, kill it, skin it, cut it to pieces, chop it up. On the altar, they put all the pieces of the corpse on there, the animal parts, and then they would set it on fire, okay, and burn it until there's nothing, and then the fragrance, okay, the fumes, that would be the fragrant offering. It'd be pleasing to God. So that's what it looks like for someone to be an offering, for Christ to be an offering for God for us. So what does that mean? That means sacrifices were bloody, it was gross, and it was messy, okay? And to love sacrificially is really messy. It's messy. It's not easy. Okay, people are messy. They have problems. They have issues. They have baggage. They've been hurt in the past. They've gone through certain things. Their family raised them a certain way. They fell into certain friend groups. They've done certain things. They've seen certain things. And so it's messy. Okay? But loving sacrificially is diving into the mess. Diving into the mess of those people who you kind of, some of us we know, like, oh man, if I talk to this person, it's gonna like drain my like soul, like my, it's so tiring loving this person, they're so needy, they have all these problems, so many issues, and you see it from afar, and you're like, uh-oh, I better not, like, I kinda wanna keep my hands clean, I still wanna have my personal time, I still wanna do all this stuff, but loving sacrificially oftentimes is just diving into the mess. And just getting your hands dirty and meeting up with them and talking to them and doing all this stuff. And it's crazy, but the deeper the relationship is, the more time you spend with people, man, just the messier it gets, right? The siblings, you know how messy your siblings are, okay? You guys know more than friends, right? You're like, oh man, I know this person so well. I know all the junk in their life. I know all their problems. I've seen them do all this bad stuff. Spouses, family members. The longer you know someone, the more, in some sense, they're gonna disappoint you, right? And you're like, man, I didn't know how bad that was. I kinda knew that you struggle with this, but it's like that, it's that bad, it's that messed up, and it all comes out, right? The longer, the deeper you're in a relationship, the messier it is sometimes. But my encouragement for you guys is, with those people at church, in the workplace, at school, that you're like, oh man, if I invest in this person, this family member, it's gonna be so draining. I encourage you, dive into the mess. That's what it looks like to love like Christ. We just gotta get in there sometimes, right? I have a youth staff worker. Her name is Sue. She handled the 11th and 12th grade girls, okay? And she had the craziest group of students. She met with them for about 2 years. Okay, the first year, everything was, you know, a very cordial kind of. The most they talked about was like maybe gossip. Gossip was a big deal for girls and stuff like that. And then this past year, the second year she was with them, she started hearing that like their real problems. Okay, and they're talking about abuse physically, emotionally by parents, abuse sexually, people who. Certain girls who went through pregnancy scares and what's going to happen with that, certain people who are in depression, suicidal, all this stuff started coming out, like self-worth, image issues, and all these struggles. And she, that was just one group of girls, okay, all this stuff. And every week when we met up with staff, or every month, she would be like, man, my small group is like so draining, like, all these girls, like, I feel like each one I talk to, it's like so hard for me to like minister to them, because they'll message me and they'll be going partying, they're like doing drugs, and they're like, hey, like, should I go out and party? Should I do this? And she's like, no, like, don't do that. And then like, call me if you're struggling. And so she would be on the phone with her students for like hours, her parents aren't, certain parents aren't at home, and so they like Uber their way around. They're like just wandering. And she's like on the phone, she's trying to reach out to them. She's picking up like her students who are like drunk. She's like doing this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I feel for her. Like she's going through so much and she's sharing. But at the same time, the work she's doing is so needed. Because see, when you sacrificial love, there's a cost. There's a cost. Okay, and so she says, you know, she's saying like, you know, this is my group of girls and this is how hard it is for me to minister to them and love them. And then she says, I feel bad because sometimes, and she's confessing to us in staff meeting, and she's like, I feel bad because sometimes when they call me, I look at their name on my, like, I see them, right? And it's like, oh, this girl is calling me and it's late at night and she's a student and she does student teaching right? And she wants to be a teacher and she has a lot on her plate. And she looks at that and she's like, man, I know if I pick up this phone call, it's going to be like a three hour conversation. She knows that if she answers this certain text message, it's like, oh man, this girl wants to meet up like for a coffee or something or for brunch. Like it's going to be a scene. It's like my day is like over. It's going to be so emotionally draining if I meet up with this person. There's going to be such a high cost if I actually love on this person the way that I'm supposed to. And she says, I feel bad because I struggle with doing that. I know I should, but it's so hard for me. And see, that's what sacrificial love is. A cost has to be paid. See, one of two things is going to happen. Either Sue is going to pick up the call and meet up with that student, and she's going to suffer. Either that's going to happen, but if she does that and she meets up with the student might cry, the student might talk and open up and share, but that student's going to feel so much better at the end of it, right? The student's going to feel so much more loved. But on the other hand, if Sue doesn't do that, if she's not the one suffering and giving up her time and her energy and her emotional bandwidth, and she's not doing that, then the student's going to suffer. And the student's going to have no one to talk with. And the student's going to have no one to care for her. And so someone is going to have to suffer. Someone is going to have to pay a cost. So who is it going to be? Either the person who is in need of love, in need of a relationship, in need of someone to talk to and care for and minister to, or it's going to be you, right? And so that's the picture of sacrificial love. Someone's going to have to pay a cost. And oftentimes for us, Christ, he's paid the price for us. He's given himself up selflessly, humbly, to come into this world for us. And he's given himself up as a sacrifice for us. He paid a high price. See, our salvation is free, but it cost him everything. That's why it's free for us. Right? That's the picture we have of sacrificial love. And it's not easy, but my encouragement for us is continue to love people. And as Pastor Jay was saying, who are those people in your lives? And I believe that God has put you in certain positions, in certain circles of people for a reason. It's not by accident. It's not that people come to church. It might seem like random. They come, they look it up on a website, or whoever, you bring your friend out from your school. Whoever those people that they come, they're not random, right? God has orchestrated for them to come, for them to be in your life, for you to know them. The people in your families, they're not random. It might be hard, but you're in their life for a certain reason. It might not be easy, but they're there. And so reach out to them. Who are they? Identify them. Pray for them. Love on them. It's going to be draining. It's going to be hard. But we're so loved by Christ, so we can love them. Right? Let's spend some time in prayer. And I wanted to kind of do what Pastor Jay was kind of encouraging us to do, but kind of set time aside, a little bit more time. But first, why don't we take a few moments just to think about the people in our lives. Maybe they're the people we're avoiding right now. Maybe they're the people we tried to love a long time ago. Years and years ago. And we were so close, and now we're not close at all. And maybe we fell off the map, or they fell off the map, or maybe it's the person in your classroom. Maybe it's the person at lunch that you see eating by themselves, and you know, man, I should reach out to this person, even though this person is so difficult, so annoying, so hard. Maybe it's the person in our workplace. Maybe it's the person at church who comes, and they don't quite fit in. And maybe it's their personality, maybe their sense of humor is a little bit different, but whoever they are, Why don't we take some time to identify a few people, two or three people in our lives, by name? And as we identify them and kind of picture who they are, maybe God is also kind of nudging you to love on them. It might be really difficult. It might not be easy. It might not be fun. It might not be very useful. They might not be very useful to you. But we're called to love others as Christ has loved us, selflessly, sacrificially. And so why don't we spend some time identifying who those people are, that God doesn't give up on them. And at the same time, why don't we spend a few minutes just praying for them, lifting them up. Maybe it's something as small as just saying hi and starting there with something I couldn't do when I was in middle school. But just welcoming ourselves, welcoming them, introducing ourselves, maybe that's the first step for us. Maybe it's just getting to know them. For others of us, maybe we already have a relationship with them. Maybe there's a lot of history. Maybe we already know them pretty well. Maybe for us to love them, it's just diving in, getting our hands dirty, and knowing that, oh man, it's gonna cost us so much time, so much energy, we don't even know what it'll look like. It might be really awkward, but just committing to that person and loving them like Christ loves us, and just diving in, getting your hands dirty, and calling that person up again, sending them a message, emailing them, reaching out to them again. Maybe it looks like that. And so why don't we take a few moments to identify who they are? And maybe for each person, we can ask God for help in just committing to these small things, just a small step. We might not be able to reach out to everyone, but we can do something small, I think, to begin with. And so why don't we spend a few moments in prayer and do that?